when he was born.
So we started off with grandchildren. They say it's better, but at any rate, that's been a delight. And then today is my wife and I's 30th wedding anniversary, and so neat to be over here during this time. And my wife is obviously the social side of our equation. You'll figure that out here as you get to know her. And she, I think, sometimes is the whole equation. But nonetheless, a delight to have all of us here. And I have been praying, I know you have as well, let's look to the Lord to give us all that He desires to give. And as we have now begun the meeting, let's continue to pray. Let's cry out. Let's ask the Lord to just breathe on us, to give life. You know, God knows our needs. And so let's trust Him to meet those needs and to take truth and to open it up to our understanding so we see it. And when the Spirit of God opens our eyes, we see. And that makes a difference. And so let's just trust the Lord to do all of that in these days together. And He will. He desires to move. Let's trust Him to do it. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 is actually where we're going to focus in here to begin with. Hebrews 11, verse 6. The inspired Word of God says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him," referring to God. Now, just take a moment to let that sink in. Without faith, it is not possible to please God. That is what it says. So how much of the last week has been pleasing to God? That is, how much has actually been walked in faith? Because without faith, it's not possible to please Him. Friends, that's amazing. That is what it says. Now, I don't know about you, but I want God to be pleased. And if the text says, without faith, it's not possible to please Him, we need to know what faith is. We need to know how it works, how it operates. Because without faith, it is not possible to please Him. Then it goes on to say, "For he that cometh," or comes, "to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So faith is like a key that opens up this possibility, this room of possibility that pleases God. Then in this chapter, known as the Hall of Faith chapter, you have all these examples of faith. Men and ladies, people just like us, that learn to trust God. And if you'll jump to verse 33, it sums up some of this, and it says, "Who," referring to these men and ladies, "through faith," skip two phrases, "obtained promises." Ah, so promises in the Bible are not automatic. It says, "Who through faith obtained promises." So again, faith is like a key that opens up another room of obtaining God's promises. You don't need to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 5, the scripture says, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." So there we see that faith is a key that opens up the room of a victory over the world. And on we could go. I want to speak this morning on the key of faith. Let's pray and ask the Spirit of God to just open our understanding that we might use this little key and open up God's provision. Lord, we do thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for each one that's here. Thank You for the young people. Thank You for the adults that are here. Now, Lord, You know the need of each heart. And You know, Lord, where faith needs to be applied, whether it is to receive Your life to begin with in salvation, or whether it is to access some promise, some provision for those who already know You. Lord, I pray that You'll use truth to set free, to make a difference. I plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, would You protect us from the attack of the evil one? Lord, expose his lies that he feeds people, Lord, to hinder. Lord, expose those lies for what they are, lies. Lord, may truth come forward today. And Lord Jesus, again, I claim our position in You at the throne, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And in Your name, I exercise Your authority over the powers of darkness that would seek to hinder today and trust You that that not be allowed. Now, Lord, would You expose what needs to be exposed? And Lord, would You just so move today that we would gladly respond in faith as this text talks about? We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a preacher in the United States by the name of Charlie Kittrell. He's now with the Lord. He pastored a church in Indianapolis, Indiana for over 40 years. He had simple, childlike faith. And through faith saw God work many mighty miracles. I've been with him on a number of occasions, and he's just told me the stories of God moving and answer to prayer and remarkable things happening. Let me tell you one of those stories. They were getting ready to build a new building. And so they had the construction workers come, and they had poured fresh cement to lay the foundation. And they had just poured it, so it was still fresh, had not hardened yet. And off in the distance, they could see some clouds. Dark clouds, full of rain, coming. And so Pastor Kittrell asked the construction workers, presumably unsaved men, well, what'll happen if a heavy rain hits this fresh cement? They said, well, if it's a heavy rain, it'll dimple it and it'll ruin it. Well, of course, that was a problem. So Charlie Kittrell slipped away to go talk to God about it. Now, he didn't have much time. The clouds are coming. You could see them. And he told me one time, he said, you know, prevailing prayer does not have to take a long time. He said, it just needs to prevail. And so he slipped away. He came back. And he said to the construction workers, don't worry. It's not going to rain on this cement. Now they laughed at him. He said, what do you mean it's not going to rain? The clouds are right there. It's going to rain any second. And you can see, of course, the dark clouds. We noted yesterday off in the distance there were some dark clouds. You could see the rain coming up. And they laughed at him. It's going to hit us any minute. Well, anytime somebody challenged God in front of Charlie Kittrell, there'd be a surge within his soul. And in his heart, he cried out, God, you've got to vindicate yourself. And he said they watched that wall of rain. You know, you can see it coming. They watched it come and stop at their property line. They had a number of acres there. And not one drop hit that fresh cement. I had another eyewitness on another occasion tell me the exact same details. Now I want to ask you, do you think God was pleased through Charlie Kittrell's faith? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And God was honored because through faith, God demonstrated his power and held off that rain for every eye there to see. Now friends, just as a key is what's needed to get in places that you couldn't otherwise get to. At the bed and breakfast where we're staying, one of the first things they did was give us a key to get into the bed and breakfast, and then another key to get into our room. And just as the right key makes accessible what would otherwise be inaccessible, so the key of faith unlocks the provisions of God that otherwise we would miss out on. You see, we've already seen that this key of faith unlocks the possibility of pleasing God. It unlocks the possibility of obtaining God's promises. It unlocks the possibility of overcoming the world. And therefore, you and I must learn to use this little key called faith. Now, what is faith? If we're going to use the key, we've got to know what it is. And how do you turn it? How does it work? How do you take faith and unlock the storehouse of God? But today, in the time we have, let's just answer those two questions. Let's first of all answer, what is faith? And secondly, let's answer, how does it operate? First of all, what is faith? We need to begin with the right concept of faith. Do you know if you don't have a right concept of faith, you're hindered before you ever get started? So it's vital that we understand faith. And what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to look at the Word of God and just take a piece of truth at a time and kind of put together a definition of faith. First of all, I want us to see that the essence of faith is dependence. If you were to look this up in a Hebrew lexicon or a Greek lexicon or an English dictionary, the word faith means dependence. It means reliance. It means trust. The verb means to depend on, to rely on, to trust in. So the essence of faith is dependence. So we have a one-word definition so far. Dependence. Now, faith is in the spiritual realm in the sense of what we're talking about, but we can illustrate it in the physical realm, which is obviously a different realm. But this morning when you came in, as the service was about to begin, you all sat where you're now sitting. And I want you to think about this, because in the physical realm, you exercised faith. You placed dependence upon that chair. And in order to do that, it involved your whole soul. Your soul is simply your mind, your thinking capacity, your affections, and your will. I often liken the soul to a triangle. Obviously, you got to have three sides to have a triangle, and you have to have all three parts of the soul involved in this matter of faith. Now, in the physical realm, when you came in your mind, you understood that's a chair. All these blue chairs. I like the color blue there. It's beautiful. And a nice color of blue. And you understood that's a chair, and you understood that it's made for holding the weight of humans. And beyond your understanding, thinking of a triangle here, beyond the mind to your affections, where you allow what you understand to affect you, you were convinced it would hold you up. In other words, the affections is where you agree with what you understand. In fact, you were so convinced that when you came in this morning, I didn't see anybody checking it out to see if it was going to hold you up before you sat down. Now, in your mind, you understood that's a chair, and you were convinced if I sit on that, I'm not going to crash. It's going to hold me up. But you know, if you stood there and never sat down, would you really believe in the chair? You can talk to me. No. You see, to actually believe in the chair, what would you have to do? You'd have to sit on it, okay? So you can understand it in your mind. You can even agree that it can hold you up. But if you never sit on it, you're only believing about the chair. It's easy believism on chairs. To believe in the chair, you got to get to that third side of the triangle. If you can just visualize that, going past the mind, past the affections, to your will, your chooser, where you make a choice and place your dependence down on that chair. And when you actually said, okay, I'm going to sit on it, and you put your weight on it, that was faith. You depended on that chair. So there is our first thought, dependence. Let's go to a second thought. Let's expand the definition. The object of biblical faith is God. In our text it says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Referring to God, then it says, for he that cometh to God. Okay, so the object of biblical faith is not a chair. That was just a physical illustration. The object of biblical faith is God. So we can expand our definition into two words. God dependence. That's why D.L. Moody used to say, the way to get faith is to know who God is. You see, faith is not a work. Sometimes people have a wrong idea. They think that because faith is something you do, that it's a human work. But faith is not a work. The Bible says, but to him who worketh not, but believes. In other words, faith is the opposite of self-dependence. It's not depending on your own human works, but to him who works not, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Okay, so faith is not a work. It's dependence upon the worker. It's dependence upon God. And he does the work. Now, I quoted a moment ago in 1 John 5, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. There's a song in your hymnal called Faith is the Victory. Do you know that song? Okay. It comes from that verse. But now, wait a second. Don't we sing another song called Victory in Jesus? Do you know that song, Victory in Jesus? You don't know that one? Okay. It's another song sometimes sung. But my point is this. Jesus is the victory, isn't he? Then why is faith the victory? It's not a contradiction. Because faith is not a work. It's dependence upon Jesus, who is the victor. Let me illustrate it this way. You remember in the Gospels, the Bible tells us over and over again how Jesus came and he healed people. And then he turns around and says to them, your faith has made you well. Now wait a second. The text just said Jesus healed them. Then he says to them, your faith made you well. It's not a contradiction. Because faith is not a work. It's dependence upon Jesus, who is the worker, the healer, who makes them well. We passed down in Peebles yesterday. Outside of it, there was a little caravan park where you have the little RVs. Well, in the United States, we travel from church to church, and we have a large caravan that we use to go from church to church, and we just park it at the church. So we're We're a traveler. I don't know if you use that terminology in Scotland, they do in Ireland. A little bit different than the culture, but nonetheless, we stay in this trailer. Well, when we get to a place, you know, we set it all up, and there's these stairs that you pull down so that you can walk from the trailer down to the ground. Well, when John Jr. was little, I used to come down the stairs and say, "Hey, John, come on." He'd come to the top, and he'd jump. It was a leap of faith. You know, if I didn't catch him, he's going to hit the ground. So he would jump, and I'd reach out my arms, and of course he's depending, he's exercising faith, he's depending on me to catch him. And I'd reach out my arms and grab him. And what was happening is he was coming into union with the object of his faith, which of course was me. Now, that's an illustration of faith in God, where we cast ourselves on God. And when we do, he doesn't let us drop. We find that underneath are the everlasting arms. And faith brings us into contact, into union with the object of our faith. Faith is not a work, it's dependence upon the worker. And when you depend on God, he does the work. And so there we have another thought. It's God dependence. Let's go to a third thought. The basis for depending on God is his word. In other words, to depend on God, there has to be a reason why we do it. And the reason, or the basis for that faith, is the word of God. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the warrant for trusting God is his word. For example, I remember in Singapore, my wife and I went in the first time in 1996. And there was a lady in the church there whose husband did not know the Lord. He was not born again. He was a brilliant a businessman, very successful. And the evangelist friend of ours who had invited us to come over, he was pastoring at the time. And he had talked to this unsaved man. Really, he was an atheist, didn't really believe in God. And he said, "Look, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He said, "Would you just come regularly and listen?" And he said, "God will bring you to faith." So that man started coming to church on a regular basis. And so we came in 1996. We had our meeting. He was there every service. We came back again in 1998. And he was there again. He was there in every service. And I can't remember which time it was that we were there. We've been there several times. We had some special gospel services where three churches came together. We rented a Salvation Army auditorium that they had there in the city of Singapore. And we had all these gospel services, and he was there. But he still never had trusted Christ. Well, on the last Sunday, I was burdened to talk to him, and so I preached, and that day he wouldn't look at me. Now, that was unusual, because normally as I preached, he'd look at me. But that day he wouldn't look at me. I thought, God's doing something here. So afterwards, I talked to him, and he said, "Oh, no, I'm okay. Don't worry about me." Well, later, he asked his wife, "Why did that evangelist talk to me?" She said, "Well, you know, you've let everybody know you don't know the Lord. You're not born again, and so they're just burdened that you really come to know the Lord." And so they talked a little bit, and the wife is quite a feisty lady, and he was kind of getting irritated of why everybody was talking to him. And she said, "You know, you just need to get saved." He says, "You're right." And he bowed his head and he admitted to God that he was a sinner that deserved God's judgment. But knowing Jesus died for his sins and rose again, he placed his faith in Christ to save him. He was saved. They called us that night. The pastor woke us up and said, "Hey, so-and-so got saved." He was so excited about it, he invited us to lunch the next day. And sure enough, he had the joy of the Lord in his heart. Well, what had happened? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He was listening and listening and listening, and the Spirit of God brought him to faith. So the basis for trusting God is his word. That's true in salvation. It's true at every step we take as believers in Jesus. The basis is God's word. Let's go to another thought. Oh, by the way, that means we can expand our definition to a phrase. God dependence based on God's word. So here we that's faith. It's God dependence based on God's word. Let's go further. The foundation of God's word is very specific, not general. When the Bible says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," it's fascinating. There are two Greek words in the Greek New Testament that are translated word in the English language. But they're two different words. One of the words is logos. Maybe you've heard that word. It's the larger word. It often refers to the entire word of God. When Jesus said, thy word is truth, he said logos. The whole thing is truth. The other word is the word rhema. And a rhema is a specific part of the larger whole. Now when Jesus, or when the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we might think it's got to be logos because we're supposed to trust the whole thing. And that's true. But it's not logos, it's rhema. Now this is fascinating. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema of God, the specific word of God. You see, people don't get saved with just kind of a general whatever. No, there are words where the Spirit of God has taken those words and spoken them to their heart. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's words, specific words, that when the Spirit of God stirs you with those words, you trust God based on the specific words. So the foundation for faith is specific, not general. There are many promises in the Bible, but they're specific. And we can trust God based on specific words. So our definition is God dependence based on God's words. Let's go even further. Do you know that that specific foundation of words is real? Even though you can't see it and feel it. Look at verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance, that's the idea of reality, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you're depending on reality that you can't see. Reality that you cannot feel. See, it's faith in God based on his words, but it's in the realm of the unseen. The unfelt. That means that our definition is God dependence based on the reality of God's words, regardless of what you see and feel. Now, the Bible says elsewhere, so that we walk by faith and not by sight. You know how when people get sick and they ask us to pray for them? You know, that's a common thing. Isn't it easy to pray for somebody when they still look good? But what about that person who's kind of like on their deathbed? They don't look good? What I'm trying to say is, if you're a believer in Jesus, you know the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But I'm afraid we let the sight affect us more than we think. And, you know, here's a person who doesn't look good at all, and so, you know, we're afraid to pray for them, but the guy that looks good will pray for them. That's walking by sight, not by faith. See, faith, it doesn't matter about the sight part. It depends on what God says. It depends on the reality of what God says, regardless of what you see. Remember the story of Charlie Kitchell and the rain? What he saw was, rain's going to hit any minute. But he trusted God. And regardless of sight, he trusted God. See, that's what we're talking about. It's not based on sight. And faith is not even based on a feeling. Often people are looking for some kind of voila. And they're depending on a feeling rather than on what God says. Now, I was born, I told you in Sunday school, Durango, Colorado. It's out in the Rocky Mountains in the western part of the United States. And that's where your pastor's father and my father got to know each other, was Durango, Colorado. And we moved from there when I was just 4 years of age, straight into the city limits of Chicago. And so I didn't get to grow up on a ranch or in the cowboy country. I grew up in the city limits of Chicago. What a different world. And so on. But years later, you know, we would go back and visit Durango. And I remember when I went into what I do now, preaching in churches as an evangelist, I had the opportunity of going back to preach in my father's church. So even though I was a city kid, this was going to be really neat. And so we went back to Durango and I'm in this meeting. And while we were there, some friends, they're now with the Lord, but at the time they were living, they had a 3,000 acre ranch. So this massive ranch where they raised cattle and all of that. And they invited me to go horseback riding. Well, I've heard of a horse before. And I thought, wow, this is really neat. You know, I could ride a horse. Now, I don't know anything about riding horses. I'm a city boy. And, you know, we just, you know, we... It's different in the city, big city. And so I thought, well, this will be neat. And so I said, yeah, I'll go. But there was a nagging something in the back of my mind that was saying, look, you don't know what you're doing. You're going to regret this. Well, I ignored that, and I went riding. Now, there's three of us riding. It was a beautiful day. It was a blue sky. It was a nice, cool temperature, blue sky. There was the head cowboy of that ranch. You know, he had the big old cowboy hat, cowboy boots, big belt buckle, you know, all that stuff. You know, and he looked the part. He was the part. There was another Westerner, and he was David Shoff. I don't know if you remember the Shoffs, but he was there. And then it was me. So they're showing me the property, you know, the mountains. You know, you come around the, you know, the edge of the mountain. Here's a whole new view. Here's the snow. Covered La Plata Mountains in the San Juan Range off the distance. Just majestic, breathtaking, aesthetic scenery there. Just enjoying all of this. Then we came to a spot where basically there was a narrow ledge that kind of went around the curvature of the mountainside. And the next thing I knew, that head cowboy took his horse straight out on that ledge, which meant we followed. Now, when I got out on that ledge, this narrow ledge, I was suddenly aware of my environment. And I'm not an environmentalist. And, you know, I could look to the left, and there's the mountain wall as it continued to ascend upward. I could basically reach out and touch it. That was somewhat comforting. And I could look to my right and see nothing. Unless I looked down. And it was not comforting. And, you know, somehow we made it past this spot. Well, then we came to a spot where not only could you look to the left and see nothing unless you looked, look to the right and see nothing unless you looked down. You could look to the left and see nothing unless you looked down. So we're riding on a ridge. And I remember thinking to myself, what are we doing? This is terrible. And then we came to a spot where we're still very steep to the right. And that head cowboy took the reins of his horse to the right, and he started taking his horse straight down that steep slope. It was so steep that the hind legs of the horse kind of tucked up under, and it began to skid its way down, you know, dislodging rocks and this and that. And I remember thinking to myself, that guy's crazy. Well, next thing I knew, the next cowboy takes the reins of his horse to the right. Down he goes, hind legs of the horse tuck up under, and he begins to skid his way down. Well, obviously, I am supposed to follow. You know, there's one old cowboy word that I remember, and I yelled it for all it was worth. Whoa! And it was a good horse. It stopped immediately. Now, when I yelled out like that, the cowboy who's skidding down the slope in front of me looks up and says, John, what's wrong? You know, I don't remember what I said. But I honestly revealed that I was petrified. And he was very kind. He said, look, John, just loosen up on the reins and the horse will take you down. Do you know that's exactly what I was afraid of? But I finally loosened up on those reins and I depended, there's our word, on that horse to take me down that slope, which it safely did. May I say that while I was in the very process of depending, my feelings were not in line with my dependence. Now, do you see it? You can depend opposite your emotions. Faith is not a feeling. Now, you could describe my faith that day as clinging faith. I was clinging. I was hanging on. You know, the saddle has that thing on the front. You know, I was hanging on to that thing for dear life. Now, the other two cowboys, they weren't clinging. Theirs was a resting faith. And then those cowboys out in the west of the U.S., they got these lanky bodies. You know, they go over the edge and their body just kind of gets in line with gravity. And they just depend on their horse to do what they know it's going to do. Theirs is a resting faith. Now, it's not two kinds of faith. Faith is faith. Dependence is dependence. It's two positions of faith. My position was hanging on for dear life, but I was depending. Their position was resting, but they were depending. Now, you have to be in the position of resting faith if you're going to help somebody else. You say, well, how do you get from clinging faith to resting faith? Well, the Bible tells us in Romans 5 that there's a progression of truth, and before it gets to that word, that's the word hope, which is confident expectation. That's your resting faith. That word previous is experience. And do you know by the time I experienced that day and went down to the bottom, I remember thinking to myself, oh, that wasn't so bad. I could do that again. No, I didn't. But the thought briefly crossed my mind. Now, do you see then? Faith is not a feeling. It's not based on sight. It's not based on feeling. It's God dependence based on the reality of God's words. Now, how can you depend on the reality of what you can't see? That brings us to our last thought to form this definition of faith. It is the Holy Spirit who convinces us of the reality of God's words. It really is the Holy Spirit who convinces us. Look at verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance, that's reality, of things hoped for, the evidence, that's your proof, of things not seen. Now what's interesting, that word evidence, that's a noun. The verb of that is used in John 16, verse 8, when Jesus told us about the Holy Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit would come into the world, He would reprove, that is, convince the world, unsaved people, of sin, of the need for Christ's righteousness, and of judgment in hell without it. So the Holy Spirit reproves, he proves, he convicts, he convinces. So there's proof in your heart, okay? That's the verb of this noun. And my point is this. Faith depends on the reality of God's words because the Holy Spirit convinces you. You can trust those words. You see, He's the convincer. And He's the one who convinces us of the reality of God's words. That's when you have evidence. The evidence, the proof, is the Holy Spirit convincing you. Now, this morning, when I went outside, the wind was blowing. And you know what? I couldn't see it. But is the wind real? Yeah, it's real. So even though we can't see it, we know it's real. Now, the Holy Spirit is likened to the wind in John chapter 3. And when He convinces you, hey, that's the truth. You need to trust Jesus. Okay, just like you can't see the wind, you can't see the Holy Spirit. And just like the wind is real, so is the Holy Spirit. And He convinces us to trust initially in salvation and then for every step of growth in the Christian life. So here's our definition. It's God dependence based on Spirit convincement of the reality of God's Word. That's what faith is. It's God dependence based on Spirit convincement of the reality of God's words regardless of what you see and feel. In other words, when the Spirit of God convinces you, hey, you can trust God for that. Faith is the response to the Holy Spirit's convicting work in your heart. But faith is not a work. It's dependence upon the worker. And when you trust Him, He works. Initially, when you trust Him to save you, He does. He your sins are forgiven. And He regenerates your heart. And He moves in. You have eternal life. And then as He trusts you or convinces you to trust Him for other things, when you respond in faith, then He enables you. So faith brings you into union. Just like my son jumping into my arms, faith brings you into union with God's will and God's power. You see, it's not wishful thinking. It's convinced confidence because the Holy Spirit has convinced you. You can trust God for that. That's how it works. That's what it is. So, God dependence based on Spirit convincement of the reality of God's Word. That's what faith is. All of that is in the abstract realm. So let's just take a few minutes, and we'll just do this briefly, to go to the second question is, how does it operate? In other words, we got to move from the concept of faith, what it is, to the exercise of faith. How it operates. It says here in Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, and then it says, prepared an ark. So he had to take a step of faith. And that's what you see throughout the chapter. And so 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk, we exercise by faith and not by sight. So a couple of thoughts. It says we walk by faith. You know, walking demands steps. In fact, that's what walking is. It's reiterated steps. Wasn't that profound? You learned something today. Walking is reiterated steps. But you know what that tells us? Walking by faith is simply reiterated steps of faith. You're born again by faith. Now you're birthed into God's family. But then you walk by faith and that's how you grow. Just like a little child is taught to walk. Okay, we walk by faith. But it's just one step at a time. You don't have to worry about the past. You don't have to worry about the future. If you presently trust, He presently enables. It's one step at a time. But a second thought is that the steps vary. For example, the Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, you ever need wisdom? Big time. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. You know what your first step of faith is? What is it? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. So the first step of faith when you need wisdom is to ask for it. Then here's what it says. Let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, it means generously, and upbraideth not, without reproach. And notice this, and it shall, that's a promise, be given. Okay, so if you lack wisdom, ask God for it, because He gives it generally, generously, and it will be given. Okay, so the first step of faith when you need wisdom is to ask for it. But it says then it will be given. So here's what happens. God, I need wisdom. You know, Lord, in the work situation, I need wisdom. I don't know how to handle the situation. Or maybe with the children, God, I don't know how to deal with this particular child. There's a definite need here. God, I'm asking for wisdom. Here's what will happen. If you're a child of God, the Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit. You've got what you're asking for. Now, at that point, you need to stop asking for it because He just gave it. Because it says it shall be given. So what would be the next step? If He gave it, you need to... If He's holding it out, you need to receive it. You need to take it. So the first step is to ask for it. That's dependence upon God. God, would you give this? He says, yes, I will. Now you need to take it. Then thirdly, you need to act on it. You see, if you just go forward without asking and taking, it's just you and you don't have the wisdom of God. But if you ask for wisdom... That's God's dependence. He gives it. Now you take it. Now you're depending on what He's giving you. Now when you act on it, you're depending on Him to carry it out, to actually give you that wisdom as you go forward. Now I want us to consider that. The Bible is full of promises and it's full of facts. Facts are what's already there for the taking so that you can act on them. Promises are potential provisions that you ask for, then He gives them. That means at that point you take it, and then you can act on it. Now, I want us to consider this. How about salvation? I was preaching in Ireland a couple of years ago, and there was a fellow there in the church, two brothers that had trusted Christ. They were growing in the Lord, and... God was working in their lives, and they were burdened for their dad, who did not know the Lord. And in the early days, the father would not come into the church. He just wouldn't come into the church. And then at one point, he would come into the church building. Before the service, he'd talk, and then he'd leave. And he'd come afterwards, and he'd talk, and so on. But he wouldn't come into the service. Well, then, he actually started coming into the services. And I had been there for meetings before. This time, he was actually in the services. So it was a meeting just like this. We had Sunday services, we had Monday night, Tuesday night. I think it was a Tuesday night. And that night, God led me to preach a message called The Key of Faith. And I remember I was talking about the steps of faith. You know, the Bible says in the matter of salvation, that's where it all starts, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, there's your asking, shall be saved. So you ask God to save you, but then you've got to take Him at His word, because He says that when you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. So you can ask, and then you take. In other words, I have met people who, I prayed, I asked God to save me, but I don't know if He did or not. Now look, that means they're not taking God at His word. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when you call, when you ask, He says you shall be saved. You can take God at His word. I said, look, it's not just asking, it's trusting. It's taking God at His word to do it. And I made the application to salvation. I made the application to matters of the Christian life, like the wisdom thing. You can ask God for it. He gives it. When He gives it, take it. Now, by the way, it's as real as if I was holding out, you know, a 100-pound note. I'm giving it to somebody as a gift. If I had that money, it's just going to give away. You know what? If they took it, okay, there it is. You see, it's that real. That's just the tangible realm. Remember, we're dealing with the unseen realm. It's just as real, though, as holding out a $100 bill or a 100-pound note, and you reaching out and taking it, okay? And I remember that day challenging, look, if you don't know Jesus, call upon the name of the Lord, but don't just ask Him to save you. Take Him at His word. Trust Him to do it. Well, at the end of the service, we had a prayer meeting. And that man went down on his knees. They told me later, you know, he's been in prayer meetings before, but he's never gotten on his knees. And when I saw him, he was like almost like a bullet. He shot to his knees. I thought, you know what? That guy's getting saved. And afterwards, I asked him, I said, hey, what'd you do? What'd you pray? He said, I've asked Jesus to save me many times, but today I took Him at His word. You know, he got saved that day. He's been a faithful member there ever since. Now, friends, see, those are the steps of faith. When there's a promise is out there, so you can ask for it, but God says He'll give it. When He does, take Him at His word. That's how it works. Not just in salvation, but in many other things like the wisdom. And so we can ask, we can take, and we can act on it. The steps vary. Let me give you one other example of something that you don't even need to ask for, but you need to take. Because it's not a promise, it's not a shall be, it's a fact, it's an is. The Bible says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So if He's giving us the victory through Jesus, if He's giving it, what should we do? Take it. And say thank you, because you ought to be courteous. And then you act on it. And it's that real. Throughout a day, God, thank you for your victory. And He enables you to be patient, to be pure, whatever the issue is. As you take and then act on it, you experience Him. That's how it works. Steps vary. Then finally, the step of faith is not merely acknowledging that God can do something. It's depending on Him to do it. It's just like the chair. You can stand there and acknowledge that the chair can hold you, but if you never depend on it, if you never sit on it, you don't really believe in it. Okay? In the same way, the step of faith is not merely acknowledging that God can. It's depending on Him to do it. Like when you need wisdom, it's not just acknowledging that God can give you wisdom. Obviously, God can give you wisdom. It's going to Him, asking, God, I need wisdom. He says, okay, you got it. Then you take it. Thank you, Lord. And then you act on it. And there is a supernatural dynamic where all of that becomes very, very real. It's not just acknowledging that He can. It's depending on Him to do it by taking the faith steps as you ask and then take. You know, the same is true in salvation. It's not just acknowledging that Jesus can save you. Of course He can. It's depending on Him to do it. Will you go to Him and say, God, I'm asking You to save me. You said You would, so I'm going to take You at your word. And the moment you do that, God says, you're saved. That's how it works. And just like Charlie Kittrell, trust in God to hold back rain clouds. And God did. We can trust God to do what He's promised to do. And you know what? He delights to do it. Faith is not a work. It depends upon the worker. His name is Jesus. And when you depend on Him, He works. Let's take this little key called faith and let's use it. Let's bow our heads in prayer.